freaking world. And a sawtooth prime with a Galway curl.
Wow. Episode 99 of Canada's Pinball Podcast is going to be a special one, really special one. I have convinced, I have cajoled, I have begged for a very special guest on this podcast. I'm not going to reveal it until I air this podcast. Now, this might sound a little bit different because I'm recording it into a snowball mic. I'm just testing it out. Don't worry, my podcasts are not going to sound like this. I will warn you, on this podcast, you are going to hear some heavy panting in the background. That's not me sexually pleasing myself. That is Bubba, who decided during this podcast to just make his presence known at every step of the way. And when I finished recording this podcast, I went over to his bed, and Bubba had chewed my favorite hat into a million pieces. So I want to thank Bubba for that contribution this evening. Bubba, I really appreciate that. But episode 99, I want to first, before I air this, thank all of you out there who have listened to this podcast for what feels like over maybe like a year and a half we've been doing this. It's been a long time, and this has been an incredible journey. I've met so many amazing people because of this podcast, and I've developed some great friendships, and I think everyone in this hobby can relate to that, that this is a hobby that brings people together. It unites us because of our love for the silver ball, and it is a hobby that is a lot of fun, and TPF next week is going to be a lot of fun, and you're going to hear something on this podcast that is going to be complete and utter news. You're going to hear an update on something that I know a lot of people have been waiting to hear about, but you have to wait to the end. So without further ado, I want to air episode 99. And I'll say this, if you think this episode is good, and wait till you hear episode 100. I know I've been building up this sort of secret surrounding episode 100, but it's going to be an epic one. I guarantee that. And this one is also a lot of fun. So without further ado, I want to air a little bit of a special edition, a special guest for Canada's Pinball Podcast, episode 99. All right. Welcome to episode 99 of Canada's Pinball Podcast. And today I have a very, very special guest, a guest I've been trying to get on this show for 2 years. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome it's Brenda. My better half has agreed to sit down and record a podcast with me today, episode 99. I told her I was going to give her episode 100, but we have an even more special guest. I know. How could it be for the next episode?
Clearly not special enough.
All right. So we're recording this with a little snowball. We haven't used this before, so it might sound a little bit different than our normal programming, but on this episode, episode 99, we're going to do two things. We're going to talk to Brenda about pinball and what it's like growing up with Canada and like experiencing this monstrosity.
I'm not seven.
Well, you're my baby girl, right?
Oh, Jesus
Christ. Oh, God, we're going to edit all this out. She's like, this is horrible. But besides talking to Brenda, we're also going to do a world-exclusive reveal about details of Attack from Mars remake. I was talking to a distributor in the U.S. I won't name names, but I have a lot of information that none of you know about when it comes to Attack from Mars remake. So, without further ado, we're going to make you wait for that, though. We're going to make you wait. You're going to have to listen to Brenda and I talk a little bit about pinball. So, Brenda, I want to start this interview with you. What is it like living in the arcade? Because I think a lot of people think that when I made the bedroom into an arcade, that I would never get the affections of a woman ever again.
It's interesting.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think over the last 2 years, I mean, 2 years ago, I suppose I'd never even seen a pinball machine, never mind played a pinball machine, and I met you, and all of a sudden, I was exposed to a whole new world.
A world that made your life better or worse?
Definitely brought some entertainment, brought a lot of comedy, mm-hmm. A lot of laughs. I think over the last 2 years, especially living here now, I don't see it anymore. it's just become part of who you are and who we are, and it's fun. People come in and out of this apartment and you just see them step back into their childhood. And I think that's such a wonderful gift to give people when they come over.
It's the gift of your childhood. You hear that, ladies and gentlemen? You come in here and then your childhood is being relived. So you've seen me recently get Magic Girl, and what goes through your head when you're like, I'm dating...
You're a bloody Aegis.
I'm dating a guy who's 40 years old and he just spent over $20,000 on a pinball machine. I mean, would anyone, is there anyone in all of Ireland that would do such a thing?
No.
Why not?
Because they're not as big of an Aegis as you are.
Okay. Well, do you like Magic Girl?
A lot more common sense.
What do you think of Magic
Make
Girl?
Make smarter decisions. Definitely have their head screwed on, I'd say, a little bit more. I can keep going.
What do you think of Magic Girl?
You know what? I'm really surprised. I'm surprised it's even here. I'm surprised it's a thing. And I'm even more surprised that it's more than just a little box of lights, blinking lights at that, for that matter. It actually seems to kind of work on occasion. But that said, it also seems like such a beginner's attempt. And it kind of feels a little bit pathetic that there's so much hype and hoopla around the whole thing.
Right.
When it's not really even a good game.
Well, Brendan's been helping me sort of film those videos on YouTube where you guys get to see some of the gameplay. But, when I ordered it, and Brendan will tell you this, I mean, I spent like 5-6 months just panicking that I was never going to get the game, that my money would have been lost. But I thought it was going to be a full game. I didn't think it was going to be such a a half-baked game. But, Brenda accompanied me to Expo this year. Now, Brenda, you played a bunch of stuff at Expo, and what's your observations of just a pinball show in general as a female?
Well, I was really appreciative. There was a fantastic wine bar and a really just good bar in general there. I don't think I would have survived otherwise.
Okay, so it takes alcohol if you're a woman to survive.
I think speaking seriously, the Pinball Expo in Chicago was not one, I think, that anyone should bring their other half to as a first introduction to the world of pinball. It was definitely much more for the industry, for the folks who are doing the selling and who are doing the parts and want to know the crazy stuff that goes on underneath. I didn't give a crap about any of that. I just wanted to see beautiful games and have a bunch of fun gameplay. And really, there wasn't much of that.
Right.
There was a wee room, all right, that had a bunch of games in it, but to be honest, they were all really dated, and half of them weren't even working.
Yeah, and Expo, I always feel bad when I bring people to Expo, and they're expecting to play a lot of great pinball, because the game room itself is not that great, as opposed to like stuff like TPF, which will have like 250 working games in good order. But I think Brenda's also referring to like the seminars, right? I mean, how exciting are those things?
I mean, just kind of dry, aren't they?
It's funny. We always laugh, too, because like, we both work in marketing. And we look at people who make PowerPoint presentations at Expo and how crappy they all are. And it's like these guys are trying to sell you on their companies and on their games. And it's like third grade PowerPoint skill sets. But all right. So Expo wasn't your favorite thing. But you got to play a bunch of games.
To play some games, but honestly, I think I much prefer just getting to meet some of your friends, some of your very avid listeners. I will say I thought some of them were a little bit crazy to allow the fandom to go to your head a little bit, but I think it was sweet.
Yeah, I mean, Brenda was like surprised that people actually came up and were like, I listened to your podcast. I love it.
Those people were lovely. I loved hanging out with them and just like getting drinks and just like chatting just generally about just the themes and the games overall and not getting hung up on the nuances of what was being released and what news was coming out and whatnot.
Do you think I spend too much time doing this podcast?
I think in the past you have. I think you've gotten a lot better. And I think that you've really calmed down and found your own personal groove and pace for this.
Right. I mean, Brenda definitely saw what, like in the summertime, sort of like August, September, when I was sort of consumed by the drama with certain manufacturers and certain individuals. And it just made, it just brought me to like a negative space. So yeah, we took that big break, right?
And I think it's great that you were kicked off of Pinside multiple times, even though you did take my own account. So that Lady Slingshot was mine, and it was my way to try of understanding this whole sport or industry or whatever it is that you want to call it. I wanted to understand this fascination, but somehow Chris got access to my login and assumed my profile.
Oh, so you're saying that Lady Slingshot was you originally? And
that's okay. Exactly what I'm saying.
Well, one of my many duplicate accounts I got banned, but Brenda just recently helped me make an advertisement for Texas Pinball Festival. So for you guys out there who are going to TPF, you're gonna love what you see with the advertisement that Brenda made for Canada's Pinball Podcast. You might want to look at the fine print on it, just giving you guys a little hint. So you played a bunch of games at Expo, and you've seen me sort of get obsessed with Magic Girl. You've seen me sort of obsess over pimping out our Toadin. You know, we've had Toadin, Lord of the Rings, and Magic Girl. What's been your favorite of the three that have entered into this domain?
Toadin, for sure.
Why do you like Toadin so much?
Because it's such a generic theme. Everyone who came into this apartment and saw it naturally gravitated towards it. I think you did a beautiful job doing it up. And it just looks like a phenomenal piece of art before anything else. But then when you approach it and you want to play it, you didn't have to like the theme like you would have had to have been into Lord of the Rings. And it was also really, really, really rewarding. You know, it was very obvious and very easy to follow what you were supposed to do for someone like myself who doesn't play pinball and really still, even though I'm 2 years in now playing as a little bit of a novice, I still just like to keep the ball alive, and that's fun enough for me.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we used to, when we have guests over, I would say 98% of them have never really played pinball before. So like a game like Toadin is easy to explain the rule set and what you have to do. Just like bash the genie, shoot the scoop, hit the magnet, you know, simple stuff. So you played Dialed In. You seem to have a lot of fun with Dialed In. What did you think of Dialed In at Expo?
I loved it. I loved how, you know, it incorporated things like selfies, photographs. It made me as a player more integrated into the actual game and more engaged. So I really enjoyed that. The theme itself did not get the premise, didn't understand what I was supposed to be doing. And I thought that some of the animation was a little bit cartoonish for my liking.
Really? You didn't like the screen? I think the city, the sort of Sim City graphic, cityscape was pretty cool.
Just kind of fell flat for me. I mean, it felt a little bit basic. And, you know, that professor guy, he just looks so 2D. And I think in the world where you see such beautiful animation on pins now, at least my expectation of what I would be looking for would be a lot more.
Are you talking
detail.
About like the cell phone animations or the animations on the big screen in the back box?
No, the actual like drawings, like the little professor and the little cartoony doodles.
Like the art itself?
The art itself.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think the Dialed In artwork is okay. I don't think it's, you know, blows people away. But I still think Dialed In next to like Batman and Alien and the other stuff at Expo still seemed like you get your money's worth, you know?
Definitely more value. Absolutely. I mean, I couldn't see any difference in any of those three Batmans. What, there was a regular and then a limited edition and then like a Super Ellie or some shite like that.
Yeah.
They all looked the feckin' same.
Do you, I mean, what do you think of like $15,000 pinball machines? You just think
it's fucking stupid, lads.
Okay.
Go spend your money on something else, will you?
So like in Ireland, right, people would rather use money like that to take some vacations that they would remember for the rest of their lives, right? They wouldn't. Do people
I mean,
even
I'm
like,
not going to speak generally for the entire nation. We are more than 4 million people, you know.
Have you ever did you ever encounter any pinball out in the wild in Ireland ever?
No, but I suppose I wasn't really, you know, I wasn't aware to, or it wasn't on my radar to be, you know, to be looking out for it. So I'm sure there were, and we certainly had arcades and things like that, but I never really noticed or it never really grabbed my attention.
What do you think about when people call me like a narcissist and a,
I think you love it,
a sociopath and a. So you're saying I do this for the attention on some level?
Don't we all? Isn't that what we all love? We all love a little bit of attention, regardless of what your career, what your passions or what your hobbies are. Part of it is to get a little bit of attention. So, yeah, in part. But I think the people who are saying that are probably just more afraid that they haven't got the balls to say what you're saying.
I always invite people on. I mean, I think that I've always been pretty transparent about who I am, like where I work, what I look like, what my job is.
You also back it up. Like, if you do have something to say, you will either back it up, and or if you are ever wrong, you'll admit it. So I think there's a lot to be said for that as well.
I mean, I try the best I can to do this little podcast for these listeners out there. So do you think, like, you want me to eventually to stop with pinball and just focus on more mature, sort of responsible usage of time, usage of resources and money?
Sort of a dumb question is that to ask me?
I mean, I'm just wondering, like, are
you... This is who you are. This is who I have acknowledged that you are, and I'm aware this is part of what makes you tick. You get so excited about it. I love it. I love that you are so passionate about it. And no, I'm never going to ask you to stop. There will certainly be times if I think you're overdoing it, we'll do another little hiatus from it, but...
Right.
Enjoy
That's my goal this time around, is not to get overly consumed by it and have that balance. I think you helped me sort of balance out when I was getting a little, like, just too involved. You know, it's like there's a lot of drama in this hobby, and there's a lot of rumors and speculation, and you can let it just consume you, and you can start to report on things that are aimed at doing nothing more than hurting people, destroying companies, and causing malice. So we're trying to turn a leaf. You know, I always told Brenda, like, when I get Magic Girl, like, it'll be different. I won't be chasing after more pinball machines.
How long have we had it now?
Yeah, we've had it for, like, what, a month?
Not even a month, and you're already
trying
to tell me what we're getting next.
Yeah, I want something else. The game I really want to get next is Dialed In, and I'll explain why. Out of all the games that are coming out, and I've been watching videos, and I've been looking at everything, I just think Dialed In is this game that was so dismissed early on because of its title. But if you look at it, and we always say, like, the world under glass, like, fun stuff, like, you can jump on and play it. I think part of the reason too, Brenda, is I saw you playing it at Expo, and I've never really seen you enjoy a pinball machine the way you enjoyed it. And I think that speaks to the ability and the genius of, like, Pat Lawler to make a game that diehards will love, but there's also just stuff in there that a casual player will love if they jump on it. So would you, I guess the question I'm asking you in front of all these listeners is, would you support a Dialed In coming in here one day or no?
I'll have to get back to you on that one. It is, I hear what you're saying from a gameplay perspective and everything, but our apartment is very small.
Right, well, Magic Girl would go out.
I appreciate that as well, but our apartment's small, and it's, I think Dialed In is just a very different looking piece. I think it would just stick out like a sore thumb.
You're saying the colors and the aesthetic of the machine?
I mean, which, again, to me as a girl, I mean, that's important.
You think Magic Girl fits aesthetically with all this? I mean,
Not as good as Totem did by any means, no.
Yeah, I mean, Tails is all brass plated, everything looked perfect. I don't know. I think the way we have the room set up is that any pinball machine there would look pretty good. I think Ghostbusters would have been a little bit too much with the bright green armor.
I didn't like Ghostbusters. It was so bloody hard to play.
Yeah, it's a drain monster. I think that game could have been one of the best Sterns of all time, but the fact that it's just not fun for someone, unless you're a really, really, really good player. I think that game is just too brutal for the theme. But there's ways to solve
your,
that.
Does anyone who listens to your podcast, have they got Dialed In? Is that available yet? Are people...
No, it's supposed to come out. So the word on the street is that Dialed In will be out in May. So that's what I'm hearing, is May will be... It'll be May Day when that happens. What about Star Wars? I've been talking to you, because you know I love Star Wars, and you know I was, like, really excited for it to be a Force Awakens pin, and we know it's the original trilogy, and, you know... What do you think? Should I wait for Star Wars, or should I go get it Dialed In? Or get nothing? Just be happy with what I have.
Maybe just take a break? I mean, I have no idea what Star Wars is going to look like. Is Stern making that as well?
Yep.
So it's just going to be another basic pin that they're just going to, like, mass produce and get out, that's probably going to have little flaws and not really be that engaging. But it could look a lot better than something like a Dialed In.
Look at Brenda throwing shade on Stern. No, I mean, I definitely think that Stern has turned a corner with artwork. I'm still waiting to see the quality match the price point.
How much is it going to be?
I would assume Star Wars will fall in line with where Aerosmith is. So we're talking probably...
Is that out?
Yeah, Aerosmith is shipping right now.
No one's even talking about it, are they?
No,
I haven't heard you mention it once.
I mean, because it's Aerosmith. I think it's like either you're like a huge fan of the band, but I think a lot of people like me just... They're not crazy about the music theme pins. Like, they'd rather see stuff based on movies and TV shows and other subjects.
Why are they making a Toy Story one?
So Toy Story. Now, if I said to you, like, let's put Toy Story here, like, you'd be like, whatever it costs.
Or Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
What themes would you like to see? I mean, Brenda, a lot of times, like, it's always like what guys want, but like, imagine if your wife or your girlfriend was like, would give you permission to get a pinball machine. So you're saying Toy Story, Beauty and the Beast, like,
yeah.
Frozen, like, what?
Wreck-It Ralph, I think, would be a really fun one as well.
Right. Yeah, Wreck-It Ralph would be kind of awesome.
Yeah.
You'd have to, like, fix the windows by rolling the ball over. And,
yeah, and all the different worlds.
Yeah. That'd be cool. Like Sugar Rush and
yeah.
Hero's Duty. Well, Toy Story is rumored to be Jersey Jack Pinball game number 4.
Oh, very cool.
Or 5? Is it 5? No, so yeah. So I think it's 5. So it goes Wizard of Oz, Hobbit, Dialed In... then Pirates of the Caribbean is supposed to be 4, then Toy Story is number 5 to coincide with the new Toy Story movie. So, like I have said it, I told Jack this, I've told everybody I know, like, if Toy Story comes out, just take my money now. Take my money now for whatever collector's super-duper edition it is, because I'm going top of the line, and infinity and beyond with the amount of money I'd spend on a Toy Story pinball machine. And I think there's not many themes like that where it's like, it crosses generations. I think a lot of the themes that we see are geared towards older men. You know, there's an Elvira machine coming out. Like, there's no one young.
What
isn't that? You know Elvira. Do you even know who Elvira
no.
is? Okay, so there you go. She doesn't even know who Elvira is. She's sort of like a... She's almost like a mistress of the night, like vampire-looking broad with, like, voluptuous body. And she's,
right.
like, the mistress of the night and... If you saw a picture...
So that's the other thing. I mean, look at Magic Girl right now. I mean, do you know any woman who looks like that?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
You're my Magic Girl.
I wish.
Well, she's not even, like, exaggerated anatomy, though.
Yeah,
you get some,
she kind of is.
She's not, like, Whoa Nelly, Big Juicy Melons.
A lot of the artwork you see on a lot of these pins is very exaggerated.
Now, as a woman, do you find that artwork to be offensive or objectifying women?
I mean, to a degree, yes. Sorry, yes, to the microphone. To a degree, absolutely.
To talking to the mic. You do. So you're like...
I think a lot of the art that you see on pinball machines is like that, though.
But like, are you personally offended? Are you just saying that from like, that's what you're supposed to say? Or
I'm saying it as a general observation. Am I personally offended? Probably not.
Right.
Because I've just been exposed to it so much now, and I think I have a deeper
understanding.
But I have a deeper understanding of who, like, this community is really targeting.
Right.
And who are buying these machines.
Right. All right, so if you hear any, like, shuffling, Bubba is trying to join this podcast. Well, okay, so we got Magic Girl. It doesn't really work. You see me now, like, hunting for information on new pins, and... Part of you, are you just like, what? It's just, what is it? Like, he's just never going to be satisfied. It's just a never ending. Like, do you want to see me sell a pin when I get a pin? So right now...
I like when you flip them and they don't even come into the apartment. That's great.
Isn't that great?
Just
when
keep doing that.
We just make, like, thousands
just
of dollars and never,
yeah.
ever even take
yeah,
possession.
Please.
Brenda's referring to my flipping of Ghostbusters and Batman 66. So, I mean, Brenda, like, what advice would you give? What advice would you give guys out there that spend an inordinate amount of time on the forum or on this? It's like, you know, what do you,
there's more to life.
What do you think is a healthy amount of time to spend thinking about or engaging with pinball on a daily basis that will keep your marriage and your relationship going?
Less than an hour.
Less than, okay. I feel like 98% of pinside people would be single tomorrow if it was less than an hour.
I think it's when and where you're engaging. You know, there are certainly evenings we'll be sitting on the couch and, you know, you'll either have your phone open or the laptop's open and you just fall into the black hole that is pinside, and it's forum after forum and thread after bloody thread. And it's all just such stupid back and forth and nitpicking and like just three or four people going at each other, and it's just kind of pathetic.
Right.
You know, couldn't you just pop in and just get the highlights and not feel like you have to read absolutely every single post?
Yeah, it's like an addictive behavior. It's mm-hmm. this weird, like, there's like endorphins that are released when you see someone respond to your comment and you see people thumbs up or thumbs down your response. And I know when I was on there, I was definitely like addicted to just like chiming in on as many things as I could and then seeing who would like respond to the things I said.
Right, but the endorphins only happen when it's something that's really good and people give you the thumbs up, but every time you got a thumbs down.
No, but like the science has shown that you just get like an endorphin release when you just see someone respond. Like we are creatures that are excited by seeing someone give us attention or seeing someone respond to our commentary. So look, I'm off there. I read it a lot, but it's healthier just to be an observer versus a contributor. So Brenda, let's talk about Attack from Mars Remake. We've made you guys sort of listen to Brenda and I talk a little bit about pinball, but now's the moment you've been waiting for, the world exclusive information on Attack from Mars Remake. So here's what I know, and you guys can fact check this, but you are going to learn all there is to know about Attack from Mars before Texas Pinball Festival. So they are going to announce the details on this machine prior to TPF. So probably I would expect to see something on this Friday or next Monday on Attack from Mars Remake. Now, what we know is this. There are going to be three versions of Attack from Mars. There's going to be a classic. There's going to be a special edition. And there's going to be a collector's edition. And I know you guys are like, oh, not again with this collector's edition bullshit. But there's going to be three versions, okay? So I don't know the prices on any of these yet, okay? Let me just state that. But here's what I'm being told. The classic edition of Attack from Mars is going to have like a color DMD, like LCD. That is normal size. It's the size of a traditional sort of Bally Williams screen. It's going to have stainless steel trim and sort of like your pro model, like your basic model of the game. Okay. Now we go one step up from that, and that's the special edition. Now I'm being told that the special edition is going to have an LCD that is larger in size than the screen that's in the classic. So you heard that. It's going to be bigger than the normal DMD size screen. Now, the animations, though, are going to be the same on both games. So what I'm hearing is that the dots are going to auto-scale and become larger for the larger screen. Okay? Now, I don't know what color trim is going to be on the special edition. I do know a little bit more about the sort of collector's edition, which is sort of like the equivalent of their LE. You know, so they're following this sort of stern formula of three models. Now, the collector's edition, it's going to be limited to 1,000 games. 1,000 games, all right? I don't think 1,000 is small enough of a number. I think 1,000 feels like too many games. I don't like that number. I don't think that creates a sense of urgency to buy. I think they made 1,000 MMR limited editions, and it's just too big of a number. But here's what you get with your 1,000 limited edition collector's edition Attack from Mars Remake. You're going to get a shaker motor. You're going to get that larger LCD screen. You're going to get a special trim, but that trim color, I believe, is going to be one color. It's going to be green, right? It's not going to be like Medieval Madness Remake where you could go from gold to whatever was it, like silver. They had all these different options and it was just creating a nightmare for them. So it's going to be green trim on the LE. Now, something that it comes with too are LEDs on the spaceship. You guys might have seen like the LED mods that you can get for Attack from Mars right now. They're going to incorporate some of those mods that have been available on the collector's edition. The game will also come with a topper. Now this topper seems like really special. It's going to be designed by the original, I believe the original topper designer from the original Attack from Mars, but this topper is actually going to move and it's going to have motion. So that should be pretty freaking rad. And here's the thing. A lot of you guys might be wondering, like, why is this taking so long? Why didn't they announce Attack from Mars Remake at Expo and then they pulled out? The reason is this. This game is going to be manufactured in-house. It is not going to be manufactured by Stern. And they were waiting to announce this because they wanted to get all of their parts in order before they made the announcement. So there wouldn't be any delay. I think they learned their lesson with Medieval Madness that when people put orders in and then the delay took forever, they wanted to make sure they had all the parts in-house before they hit go and hit announce on it. So what does that mean? That means that when they announce this thing in like less than a week, games are going to go into production probably within a month or two. Now, that part I'm just speculating on, but what I'm hearing is that there's not going to be a very long window between announcement and production. All right, you're not going to be in for this really, really long wait. And I heard they're going to make something like 500 for the first batch, and those are all going to be LEs. So for those of you out there who have been wondering what's the deal with Attack from Mars Remake, that is the deal. This game is going to be coming out. It's going to be in market shortly. And it's going to be interesting because now we got Aerosmith, we got Attack from Mars, and we got Alien. We got three titles that start with the letter A, all vying for your dollars. So it's going to be a crowded space come this spring into summer when it comes to pinball machines that are available. So what do I think of this? Brenda, what do you think of this? You're still here. Brenda's still on the podcast. Have you ever played Attack from Mars?
Yeah, I think we played it at Two Bits, right?
That was Revenge from Mars. That was like the Pinball 2000 with the screen that reflected on that.
Yeah, that was cool.
So that was like the sequel to it.
Okay, are they remaking this because it's like a special year?
No, this company, PPS, Chicago Pinball, they have the rights to the old games and they're just remaking the ones.
Refreshing them.
Yeah, they're just remaking the good ones. So another thing, guys, too, that we were speculating is, would the artwork be different on the games themselves? Would the cabinet artwork be different? Would the playfield artwork be touched up? I'm hearing that the artwork is not going to be different, but it's going to be interesting if they increase the size of that LCD on the back box. What does that do for the translate size? Is that going to force them to make a new translate that might come with different artwork? So we'll see. But that is what I'm hearing. Now you are hearing it for the first time on Canada's Pinball Podcast, breaking the exclusive. All this information is probably wrong. I was probably fed all this information just to test to see if I would reveal stuff incorrectly. This might be a ploy by certain individuals to destroy the credibility of Canada's Pinball Podcast. Or this could be the moment where we've crossed over into legitimate pinball news source. So, super exciting news. We'll see what happens. And Brenna, should I reveal like who's going to be my special guest on episode 100, or should I?
No.
No?
No, I'm already put out that it's not me, so let's just not interrupt my episode now with it.
All right. Well, let me tell you guys something. This is episode 99. Brenda, I want to thank you for coming on and for being a good sport and putting up with it and talking into this little snowball thing. This has probably been one of the worst moments of your life, and you'll never get this 30 minutes back. Did you enjoy like this little impromptu podcast?
I'm sure there are going to be plenty of comments that will tell you how people think I feel about it. So why don't we leave it at that?
What do you think when people make comments about your accent and connote it as being like a seductive thing?
Sure, I'll take that. Happy days.
Yeah,
don't compare me to the leprechaun from Lucky Charms.
You know, they don't even have Lucky Charms in Ireland. When I went over there, I thought that's all they would eat all day long, and it, to my surprise, it's not even available. All right, so 99 is going to be it's going to be a podcast. Not 99, 100. The next podcast, guys, you're gonna love the conversation that I have. But Brenda,
you will.
Thank you for joining us, guys. It's coming real soon. It's coming soon. Keep a lookout.
Don't bust his balls too hard, guys.
There it is. That, you know, to most of them, I don't even have balls. All right, Bubba's joined us. We're going to feed the big guy. Later, guys.